This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Our guest this morning, Murfreesboro City Manager Darren Gore. First of all, Darren, good morning to you. How's everything in your world doing?
Good morning, Bart. Everything's great.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been an exciting week, and more excitement coming up, it sounds like.
Always an exciting week. I just passed my first year as city manager, and it has felt like it has been in a blink of an eye.
I have to agree. It just seems like the other day we were ran into each other at a Main Street meeting.
Yep.
And there you were.
Yeah.
It just seems like I wouldn't have believed it was a year.
Yeah, I know. It's been fast and furious, is all I can say.
Well, there are a lot of things on the plate to talk about this morning. One of them, the Veterans Park. Everybody's excited about that. That's been needed for a good while, the park over in the Blackman community.
Correct.
Bring us up to speed on that.
Well, they're out there doing the mass grading right now. So it's a lot of dirt work, and they're just reshaping the earth, if you will, reshaping the site so that all the amenities can get constructed and installed. So it's not very exciting looking, maybe real similar to what you see over at Town Creek. Not a lot of glitz and glam, but it's necessary. It's the foundation on which you have to start your construction. You got to get the foundation right and get the subgrade right, and then everything else moves along pretty quick.
Now, how big will that park be?
Oh gosh, that's a Nate Williams question.
Okay.
I'm thinking is it 20 plus acres? It's mm-hmm. It's got a lot of trails and a lot of it's active space, but it's really more, I call it active space. I mean, walking trails and large open fields for pickup play, picnicking, sitting out there. As far as, you know, they've got some pickleball courts, which is really more of the active space, and some pavilions with some playground equipment there. But it's much larger than you would expect. It's not going to have a lot of soccer fields or a lot of baseball fields, and that's not what's taking up the space. Mainly it's the walking trails, and that type of space is eating up most of it.
In that conversation about that Veterans Park, you also mentioned Town Creek, the daylighting of Town Creek. That is coming along quite well, and you talk about it not being interesting. It's bigger than I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's pretty wide.
It is. We're actually, every Friday, Greg McKnight and our communications department is going out and actually flying a drone over that all the progress. So at the end of this, we're going to be able to kind of see from the beginning of the project through the end of the project how it evolved over time. But yeah, it's again, a lot of the foundation work. We're having to open up the old box culvert that was basically containing the creek, keeping it underground. And there's a lot of utility relocation going on right now. We have to get all that overhead electric. That's got to go underground so that it's not, you don't want a nice linear park and a nice creek and then have a lot of overhead utilities and telecommunication stuff kind of right there in your view shed. So we want to get that underground. We're also doing some sanitary sewer relocation that has to be done, some water line relocation that has to be done. And that is probably what the public doesn't understand the most. And I'm really talking more about road projects now. People wonder why it takes so long for these projects to come together. And it's really on the front end. The utility relocation is so significant to get done before you can actually just get the, and I won't call it superficial. I mean, superficial from the standpoint of what you see at the end of the day. You've got to get all that subterranean underground work done before you see the actual road improvement or the park improvement, you know, and in this case, opening up and daylighting Town Creek.
Now, one thing that has been a part of that is the historic Bottoms development. That was one of the items mentioned in a town meeting several years ago, and I've never seen people come together like that. I mean, they were 100% together on it, but I think that after that, when you open it up to developers, you haven't had much response. Do you think once this town creek is together, suddenly everybody's going to see the vision and say, I want to be there?
Yes. There is, and I'm learning this as I've always kind of maybe known it as the water resources director, but you have to get the infrastructure in first. And when you get the infrastructure in and then you amenitize it to some degree, that really activates the space. And when the space is activated and people start coming to enjoy those amenities or those, you know, it's a kind of if you build it, they will come mentality or philosophy. And so we're building it. We expect people to come. You know, we're investing in a pedestrian bridge that's going to connect the downtown area over to the Town Creek area. And when people are there, then the market will take care of it. Then people will say, hey, there's an audience here. There's a captive audience. They need to drink. They need to eat. They need to recreate. They need these other things. And so we fully expect that, yes, once this is done and people are over there, that we're going to see a market-driven retail and concessions, those kind of things that happen over there.
Do you think this will be a boost in the arm for Canonsburg? I mean, we are really fortunate to have Canonsburg. You look around, there are a few ideas like that in other cities, and they have been phenomenal.
Yes, yes. There's two things that I really, and I don't want to get too controversial when I talk about this, but there's two things that really will kind of reignite Canonsburg, if you will. One is going to be the Town Creek daylighting. That's maybe the carrot that's going to draw people to it. Another thing, and this is they're a great partner with the city, but the Journey Home is going to be moving into their new facility here in the next month or two. They're moving over to the Samsonite Boulevard and Old Salem Road is going to be their new facility. And so they're going to be leaving that facility there that's on Castle.
Castle, mm-hmm.
There has been some deterrence of folks wanting to get down and using that part of the Greenway and using that part of Canonsburg because the homeless population has grown. It's gotten larger. We're working with all of our nonprofits and our charitable organizations to see, again, I will say this admittedly, it's the biggest challenge I have as city manager is how do we give the comfort level to the public so that they can use these downtown amenities, things like Canonsburg and walk downtown and not feel safe, but at the same time, you know, show compassion. And show the empathy that we need to show to the homeless community that need to, you know, resources in order to find shelter, find a permanent home. So I think with the Journey Home moving and Town Creek opening up, I think Canonsburg is ripe for that reigniting and getting more people back into that area.
Really exciting times ahead. And you've been here in office for a year now, and you're really ramping up. You are hitting all the high points, and you're getting them all at once. Does it feel like a storm coming?
Well, it's been an interesting ride so far, just from the standpoint that, you know, I was the new guy, the new city manager, and the expectation, I think, from the council was, again, to create some energy, create kind of a fresh mm-hmm. approach to coming in as the city manager and getting some of these topics that maybe, you know, I have fresh eyes on. I haven't been working on homelessness for the last 20 years, so maybe there would be some new ideas. I know from a biblical perspective, we're always going to have the homeless, so it's never going to be a, quote, 100% solvable solution, but it's really about managing it and how you manage with your partners and how you communicate, how you have very candid meetings at times and be very transparent about what the city's expectations are, and just doing that in a kind way. You can say tough things in a kind way, but I think that's what the council's looking at me to say, look, you're new, we need the energy, we need the fresh eyes, we need you to approach these things maybe that others did. We want to see some movement, so I'm really pouring a lot of energy into a lot of these, the downtown and the homelessness and a lot of the projects we've got going on around town.
And if that's not enough of these fireworks type of topics, here's another one that's right on top of you. Everybody's been following the Cherry Lane extension. for years. We, especially if you live in that area, you see the bottleneck traffic brought on by the additional subdivisions, the Tennessee Miller Coliseum, the schools, things of that sort. I understand there's a meeting coming up today.
Yes.
At the airport, and this is for the stakeholders of the Cherry Lane. What do you mean, stakeholders? People who live in that area?
Yeah, it's the property owners for the most part, and of course they've got their there's a lot of folks that they're working with from the real estate community and from the development community that would also be they're interested in seeing how this, you know, they've obviously got a lot of, you know. There's several large tracts of property out there, and so people are interested to see again how the city comes out and we get that infrastructure and that foundation correct first, and then how do you wrap the, I call it, you know, you put the bones in first, and then you bring in the muscle, and then you bring in the skin. How do you wrap or drape development around what the city is showing as an infrastructure improvement through that area? That corridor is so significant to our future, not just from an economic development or economic impact, but just to get people to and from, I mean, get our transportation. People complain is the right word. they fuss a little bit about the fact that the city always seems to be doing the road improvements in arrears.
Yeah.
Development comes, oh gosh, we got all this traffic. Now the city has to come in after the fact and get roads improved. This is really a good example of the city coming in on the front end and saying, we know that this infrastructure for transportation is necessary, plus all the utility infrastructure that goes along with that. I always tell people, a road's not a road. A road is it's a road plus a utility corridor. So we got, you know, get the utilities, the roads, get that set, and then we control access, we control, we collaborate with the property owners to let them achieve the highest and best use of their property, but also in the best interest of the public and our transportation needs. So this is really a great example of the city leadership, our city council, giving staff. We asked for it and they gave it to us. And now we have done, I mean, I've been very impressed with our consultants on this. Reagan Smith and Kim Lee Horn, they have done a great job putting together alternatives and how this road would look and the geometry and the constraints we have to get around the railroad, the river, the floodplain, the overall creek. There's limited access on Murfreesboro Road off of 840. So there's a lot of constraints. They've done a great job. So we're kind of showing that progress to the community today. So we would encourage, invite everyone to come out at 3:00 at the airport. Again, we sent out invitations to the folks that were directly maybe impacted by what were the study area, but anybody's welcome. The public's welcome to come. Anybody can come out there.
3:00 today at the Murfreesboro Airport. Give us, if you would, because you've been living with this for a while. I think everybody's familiar with the soccer fields. As you drive down Cherry Lane beside the soccer fields, you go from a four-lane divided roadway until it gets right at the end of what were the original soccer fields, and it narrows down into two lanes. What will happen at that point? And so to give us a visual roadmap on over to 840.
Right. So that will all go to the five lanes. And really what has, I'll say it, jammed us up has been Corps of Engineer permit, which, by the way, we recently just received. Chris Griffith told me, I think it was last week or the week before, that we had gotten that Corps of Engineer permit. We had encountered some wetlands. And
I think anybody who's been in that area knows where you're, it's right there where it narrows.
Yes, and I came to understand that we have this beautiful orchid-type flower. It's called a swamp candle. That's its, yeah, it's a yellow. It's a beautiful, but it's an endangered.
I think there's some
species.
Snail darters there too.
Maybe so, yes. So
I'm pulling your leg on
snail
that.
Darters, yeah.
that stopped us once before on another project.
Well, I've run into the Tennessee coneflower. I've run into a lot of over my career. There's been a lot of interesting flora and fauna that I've encountered that has taken a big project and you know, grinded it to a halt. So the original alignment went through the wetlands. The Corps said, no, you need to realign. And then, unfortunately, there's several residences that we're going to have to run the road effectually through their homes. And so we're having to relocate several residents to get the road. So we're going to continue the road. The two lane's going to go to a five lane. It's going to basically go due west, and then it's going to do a pretty sharp S turn through the Jordan farm,
which we own,
right? So the city will, you know, the right of way shouldn't be too hard to get through that farm. So that's going to bifurcate or kind of split that farm in two. But we've known that this is coming for years, so the Water Resources Department has planned ahead. They know what they need to do to accommodate the new road in there. And then we're going to connect, and I don't know the name of the county road we're connecting to, but in essence, we're going to continue a westerly route over to the new interchange that's going to be at I-840. So we're going to have an 840 to Memorial connection. That is going to take some, that's going to relieve a lot of congestion off of Thompson Lane, which we all know is a huge.
Yes.
It's going to be a huge project for TDOT. I don't know that we're going to necessarily get Cherry Lane built and the interchange built before Thompson Lane starts. But at the end of the day, you're going to have an improved, you know, connection between 840 and Memorial that will take the pressure off of Thompson Lane.
So will the new interchange be between Broad and Sulphur Springs?
Yes, it will. The city actually owns a tract of land, again, size, I'm not sure, 40 acres or so, there on the west side of 840. That's where the interchange is going to
go.
Yes.
So 40 acres gives you enough room to do developments.
Yes, that's right. We've got enough room to accommodate the
hotels,
the interchange. Yes,
whatever.
And we'll have some remaining property to do somewhat like we did along the medical center corridor, where we can broker some economic development opportunities.
Newcomers to town may be thinking, why are they talking about putting a hotel there? It's a little optimistic. From what I understand, this is going to be the Tennessee Soccer League home.
Yeah, well, that's true. I say hotels.
They claim they can fill a hotel almost 300 and something days a year.
Yes, there's a great partnership there. And again, I don't know the intimate details with that, but Nate Williams does a great job. I would suggest you have him on here, and he probably can tell you every detail with the
he can
the
walk
Tennessee.
Us down the hall of the hotel.
That's right. Yeah, he may have a concept plan already drawn up.
So that's exciting.
And just speaking of that, I was incorrect in the size of my I think we've got 140 acres.
Wow.
At the Veterans Park. Yeah, so it's huge. And we're not the project doesn't necessarily encompass that entire area. I don't know that Nate can send me the actual area but it's 150 acres, and so I'm not sure. We're not doing improvements over the entire 150 acres.
I'm impressed you have that. I mean, when you said 40, I was impressed.
Yeah.
But 150 is huge.
I should have known.
That's like one of Nate's parks.
It is. Well, it's ultimately going to get. It's going to get phased, and we're going to ultimately that 150 acres is going to get fully utilized as a park. He's saying there's about 90 acres of dedicated park space out of the 150. So, that's a big park.
It is. It is very big, bigger than Old Fort, I believe.
Yes.
We're going to continue the conversation. This morning we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro, and our city manager is here celebrating his first year in office. First year in office. Darren Gore with us here. Stay with us. We will be right back.
That brisket came from your cow, right?
Yep. Raised her, named her, thanked her, and now she's dinner.
Rutherford County Farmers Market. There's something fresh every week. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1 at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro on John R. Rice Boulevard.
Is your saving for retirement strategy involving the phrase, I'll get around to it someday? If so, we need to talk. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. And when it comes to meeting your goals, time can be on your side. And there's no better time than now to get started towards your retirement goals. Give us a call, Lee Colvin, at 615-907-7056. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Right now, there's this big talk of tariffs. So we start looking at where do all of our suppliers get their product from. Even though we're buying it from, and it looks like it's from an American company, but they're getting it from China. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value. When the prices do go up, we have at least a cushion to work off of. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
Welcome back. I want to remind you again of a few things that are on our plate this morning. The North Thompson Lane is still closed. In fact, it'll be closed in both directions until about 1 o'clock today. And that's North Thompson Lane right in front of Dollar General Store. So that's between, I guess you could say, between the town, Thompson Lane Creek. That's not called Thompson Lane Creek. That's the
Town Creek.
They have a name for it. It's a place where you go get in the creek. At any rate,
Greenway.
Greenway. Yeah, it's got a Thompson
trailhead.
Lane
trailhead.
Thompson Lane trailhead. That's
trailhead.
The one.
Yeah. Okay.
A new word for my vocabulary. So around there, if you're going in either direction, you know, don't go on that road because you'll get frustrated because you'll get down to where you think you're going fine and you'll be turned around. It will go in both directions. They will be working on those utility poles. There was a wreck there in the 3 o'clock hour this morning. And I tell you, we have some pictures on our website. I've never seen such a massive repair work being done by Middle Tennessee Electric. The car must have gotten both sides of the road.
Right. Yeah, I'd gotten some information from Chris that it is actually an emergency. It was a car accident that knocked down the pole. So, it was not. My first question when I heard you talking about it was, did we know about this? And obviously we didn't. It was an emergency. It was a car wreck that created the problem. So
an emergency in the car?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh. It was just an emergency. I call it an emergency repair job.
Right.
That MTE had to get out there because someone had an accident in the car.
And it's both sides. I've never seen them get both sides of a road. I mean, that's a pretty good size road.
Yeah, I haven't. I have not seen pictures, but
I'll push my phone over there too.
Yeah, I need to look at the pictures.
Or it's on our website if you want to go to it.
Yeah, we'll check it. I'm sure Chris. So, hey, one thing I did just, Chris did just mention that we have been approved for our environmental permitting on phase two. So that'll start right away, acquisition near Soccer Park, this fall. And we should start the interchange at 8:40 next spring.
Very good. There's somebody coming, going to be retiring soon, and we're going to miss them. Sam has done a phenomenal job for the city.
He has. He has. I call Sam Encyclopedia Murfreesboro. He has been with the city, I think, 27 years, maybe going on 28. He knows the city's design guidelines, subdivision regs, and city code probably better than anybody in the city. And as such, he's a very good navigator for development and economic development opportunities. So, because he knows how to, when someone comes in, he's just got that ability, that learned ability of how all those different guidelines and policies, procedures, and city code works together to provide the easiest path forward for people that come into the city. So
that's, Sam looks young, though.
Yeah, well, he's 60, maybe 61. I mean, I don't.
That's a kid.
Yeah, it's a kid. Yeah, I mean, I'm a kid, right? You know, so I get it. Somebody told me that the other day. I was playing in a scramble. They said, "Oh, you're just a kid," and it's like, all right. Yes, I go back and I was actually watching some old planning commissions looking for some material the other day. And it's one of those things when you have a public hearing and people come up and they have concerns or comments about drainage, about stub of street access, or how is this new subdivision or how is this new residential development going to connect here? How is it going to drain? What are these consequences? You know, and so it's an on the fly thing. The council's taking notes, and at the end of the public hearing, Sam steps up and answers everything. So it's not as though he had an opportunity to go back and study and prepare and whatnot. I mean, it's on the fly, stepping up, answering questions that are right there happening in real time. And that's his superpower. I mean, that's a gap that I and our other staff members, we're going to have to figure out how to fill that gap when we have these public hearings.
I don't think you could fill his gap.
I don't know if we can.
I'm really impressed with. He has, at an instant, texted in to guests we've had on this show. Questions come in from listeners; they don't know the answer. Sam sends them the answer.
Right.
He is, like you say, a font of information.
He is, and so that's we're going to miss that. And how do we fill that gap? Or again, not that we will fill it. We will never fill Sam's, not being or his, the gap that he leaves, but we've got to fill some of that so that we can field these questions and we can give the public the confidence that, hey, we do know our own rules, we do know our own subdivision regs, we do know our own design guidelines, and we can help you get across the finish line with projects or safeguard existing parts of the town from there's a balance. When you bring new development in, you want to encourage that, and you want that's growth and that's good, but you also want to make sure that the existing community that their quality of life is not adversely impacted. Mm-hmm. So it's just that balance, and how do we continue to give people the confidence that we're achieving the right balance.
And sort of like some of these game shows on TV, are you going to have as a requirement of Sam's retirement that you have an emergency line that goes directly to Sam Huddleston?
Well, probably like a lot of folks will end up just, hiring Sam as a consultant to come in after he's retired, so he can help us out. Sam's just left an indelible impression on not just his knowledge and his ability, but his care for everyone else. He's been always the first one to step up when someone is having a health issue or a parent's health issue, or there's someone in need in the city. Sam has always been kind of the one that has let others know that there's we need to help these coworkers. It's your family outside of your home. I mean, it's your work family. And so Sam has always kind of been, he's kind of been the dad, the one that kind of brings everybody together when there's a crisis or just some type of challenge that some employee is facing on a health issue, or again, a family health issue.
When will he be retiring?
It's Friday.
Wow, this Friday?
This Friday.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. This Friday's his last day.
Sam, enjoy it. We will definitely miss you. But it's
He'll
okay.
He'll be around. We're going to get him. We're going to make sure he keeps coming around.
And if the mayor is on and doesn't know the answer, you can text us here at the radio station on the WGNS text line.
He may still, I'm sure he's still going to be listening in. It's odd. Well, it's not odd. He's got a lot of run out time. So he's retired, but he's got, several months of running out his salary and benefits, But he's on the library board. He just accepted a position on the library board, and he's committed. He said he's willing to continue to serve on the library board. So we're going to keep our hooks in him for as long as we can.
What a great guy. Sam Huddleston, thank you for all that you have done. There's so many more things we need to touch on this morning. The TDOT Choice Lanes. Is that what I think it is, where you do you pay for?
That's going to be right. TDOT is working vigorously and has several developers. They call them developers versus, I guess in the old days, we'd call them contractors. But they're coming in with these conceptual designs on how to foster participation in, as you say, a choice lane project, which in effect you pay for a independent lane that will get you back and forth up and down I-24 quicker, back and forth to Nashville quicker. So the original phase one was from downtown Nashville to Sam Ridley Parkway, and really from Sam Ridley Parkway to 840 was considered phase two. And they were basing their selection, and I think that's coming up. They've gotten all their proposals, and so I'm expecting their selection to occur later this year on who they're going to choose to partner with. It's a public-private partnership, so there is a profit incentive for the developer to come in, and they're going to be putting billions of dollars into this project by adding lanes to I-24. But the selection was going to be based on the best conceptual layouts between to Sam Ridley. What I'm hearing now is they may be interested in going ahead and doing it all the way to 840. Of course, they're looking at all the traffic trends, all the growth trends, all the traffic. They want more traffic to participate and pay them back for those choice lanes. So Murfreesboro, we've had two or three meetings with TDOT. They've kept us abreast of the progress and how they're going to select and how this whole situation is going to come together. Our biggest motivation in being involved is we really want to see an interchange between Amelville Road and 840. That is going to, again, kind of be a nucleus for a lot of economic opportunity and development and ingress and egress off of I-24. So we are working, we are very interested in that project and how we can get another interchange between 840 and Amelville Road.
That's going to be a good
And that ties into the Cherry Lane. I mean, one of the alternatives we're looking at is, what does the Cherry Lane corridor project look like with a flyover bridge with no access to I-24, and then what does it look like with an interchange that's approved by TDOT to tie into I-24?
Be interesting to see how that comes out. Before the show gets too close to the end, we need to touch on the Middle Point landfill. I guess it was July 17th, the Murfreesboro City Council met, and they voted unanimously, 6-0, to annex the 827-acre Middle Point property, 827 acres. Now, 207 of those acres are the landfill. They voted unanimously to do that, but I understand, and you can fill us in on this, that came about through a long period of negotiations with the city of Murfreesboro and BFI Republic, or whatever you want to call that entity that operates Middle Point Landfill. It wasn't just a surprise to them.
Well, no. Well, the annexation really, I think you may be referring to, there's a proposed settlement agreement that the council's going to be considering at tomorrow night's council meeting.
And this is to get
lawsuit? Yes, it's to resolve the federal lawsuits, the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act violations that we have claimed that they have caused. And so, in effect, the settlement agreement is something that has been worked on for about a year and a half to try to mitigate the water quality issues that we've seen, primarily dealing with PFAS, which are the forever chemicals, which is the biggest from a health, drinking water health standard. PFAS is kind of the big biggest EPA issue on the table right now, because they're saying that these forever chemicals are, you know, they're hazardous to your health and carcinogens. So it is really trying to spell out in a very step by step process of what they're going to do to fix the water quality issues, and also to fix the air quality issues. And a lot of the air quality issues is dealing with a gas extraction system and an odor control management portal that we would work with them on. And so that settlement agreement, again, was put together over many, many months of a mediation process. That's in front of the council. They have to determine whether they believe that those measures that are in that settlement agreement are in the best interest of our community, or if continuing the lawsuit is in the best interest of our community. And that's a tough position. The annexation really was more of our ability to adopt or incorporate Republic Inn as a corporate citizen, so just like we would with General Mills or Heritage Dairies or a lot of our industries, we are able to have a little more oversight, right, and as to what they're doing, if they're expanding or if they're doing things on their site. The annexation really gives us more ability to oversee their stormwater control measures, the building and code standards, the fire protection requirements that they may have if they build new facilities on the landfill. So it really, the annexation was more about, there's a nominal revenue that comes in, I think somewhere in the $40,000 range that we'll receive annually as part of their property taxes. But for the most part, it was really to give more oversight on the stormwater and the building and codes, and putting our city code onto them and creating a better corporate citizen, if you will. The settlement agreement, again, is really talking about how do we fix the air quality and the water quality problems, and whether the council sees that as the best solution or continuing the lawsuit as the best solution.
So time will tell on that. That's going to be determined by the city council tomorrow night. Also, in keeping with a lot of this improvements in the downtown area, you're going to have a town hall meeting Monday night.
Yes, Monday, August 4th. We had an ongoing downtown study, again, primarily to see how we could maybe help activate some of the second floor space. Sam has been, and Greg McKnight, Ben Newman, all of our planning team, they did a trip over to Oxford, Mississippi, and Oxford had done a big downtown revitalization, so we took a lot of takeaways from Oxford, Mississippi. KDGI, the architectural firm here on the square, has put together a great kind of roadmap on how do we look at activating that second story space, maybe getting the offices up into that second story, and then again creating more hospitality type venues on the bottom floor. And where are some partners downtown that are willing for us to work with the city to try to again get that upstairs floor activated? Because the biggest issue, and I know our building and codes folks, Kevin Jones has been at Metro. The ingress and egress is the biggest thing. We got an old historic downtown area. If you put people up in a second floor, you've got to be able to get them out of the building in case of a fire or some type of emergency. How do you create that ingress egress on those second floors? So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the homelessness. We're really just having a downtown, inviting the downtown community to have a town hall similar to what we did to the Blackman area, similar to what we did at Olive Branch Baptist Church, to just let them know what we're doing and where we're headed, and give them a heads up on the fact that we're working hard to try to develop that roadmap to enhance and improve and foster growth.
And at 6 o'clock Monday night, this Monday night, 6 at First Presbyterian Church. And that's just off the square, the corner of College and Spring.
Correct.
6 Monday night. Before you leave, we've got about 3 minutes. Give us an update on the downtown projects as they stand. I guess there's only one that's standing right now.
Right, yeah, yeah. Keystone Project, we actually have best way I can describe it is, you know, it we're probably kind of into the third rendition of this project. The first rendition was multifamily condos, hotel, all under one financing package. The thing that has really kind of disrupted our ability to get this project started has been the financing. So then it was, let's look at doing the condos and the multifamily under one packaging and then putting the hotel out as a separate package. Well, what's happened here recently is we're looking at really a three-phase, a three-section project. We'll call it secure. The multifamily and 70% of the retail is secured through a HUD loan. The condos and a large portion of the other remaining retail, that's semi-secured. I say semi-secured because the financing, the banks have to see that there's going to be certain pre-sales. They're going to have to show that a certain amount of those units are pre-sold before they'll finance it. So it's anticipated and ongoing, but we got to get. And the hotel is really speculative. It gets back into if they build it, if we build these other things, I'm being told the hotels will come. Okay, so it's a little bit more of a speculative. So now we're trying to create the development agreement, the financing agreement, and the TIF to take into this as a three-prong approach, whereas originally we thought it was one prong. So that's is in 3 minutes as quickly as I could describe
it. You've done a very good job. The next question deals with that. With all of that being said, you were going to start raising some of the old buildings so you could put in the new ones. You got the old city hall. You've got the water department.
Right.
Your old home stomping ground. When will those go?
Well, that's going to be later this year, early next year, because we are right. We just kind of pitched this approach to the council. And I know we have to talk to the Industrial Development Board. We have to talk to the County Commission. So getting all the paperwork and all the contracts executed probably is going to take us through November. Once we get those items completed, then we close on the property. Then we'll probably see some activity early next year.
Okay. So
if everybody approves it.
If it all works. Well, good luck to you. And congratulations for a year in office.
Thank you very much. It's been quite a ride and a privilege.
And Sam Huddleston, we're going to miss you. His last day will be this Friday. Stay with us. Much more to come. We're going to be heading over to MTSU Live with not only audio, but you'll be able to watch it on our website and our YouTube TV. Wherever you watch Big G TV, you'll be able to watch the dedication of the Stephen and Denise Smith Student Athletic Performance Center. And that's coming your way at 9 o'clock on the nose. Thanks for joining us. Hey, have a super rest of the day. Much more to come.